often don't relate it to school environments or to boys. And so that's kind of like the angle we were going when we talked before. And so when the ruling came out that locally they were going to uphold the ruling that the boy needs to cut his hair so he can be in conformance with the district policy, I was like, it wasn't shocking, but it was still very disappointing. You have to think about the context of the district. It's not a Houston. So I'm like, that's not my home. That's not my home city. That's not my district. But it's not Houston. So you kind of have to consider that context. I'm not going to talk negatively about that place. But the makeup of the place is very important for what happened and why it's not shocking, even though it's still very disappointing. And so I was like, oh, Dr. Rowe has to know that, you know, this saga is continuing, that, as you said, this ruling happened at the district level. So they still have so many more levels to go. And the last I've heard, they do plan to pursue the higher levels. And so we just have to really see, one, how far it goes. Is it going to make it to federal level? And if so, that's where it's going to have wide implications. Or are we going to be able to just stop this at the state level? They tried to use the caveat, and by they, I mean the judge, and the argument was, oh, it's not about how he's, his hairstyle, it's the hair length. Our policy prohibits males of all races. Like, it doesn't matter your race. It prohibits males from wearing hair of a certain length. And we don't care if your argument is his hair is always up above his earlobe. The fact that if it comes loose and it'll hang below his earlobe or to his collar, that is in violation of our policy. And the judge agreed with that. And I'm just like, this is why people do not have respect or hope in the justice system, because of an argument like that is allowed to continue to prohibit this boy from accessing education.
It's sadistic.